No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Caleb Williams looks better today, and the left tackle competition just got a little more interesting. Let's talk about it.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.
What's going on, Bears fans, and welcome to another episode of the Nicholas Moriano Show. I'm your host, Nicholas Moriano. Make sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment, and share this YouTube channel with any fellow Bears fans. As always, this video is powered by Triumph Drinks, which is a hydrogen-infused electrolyte that helps fight fatigue, supports muscle recovery, and promotes overall wellness with the power of molecular hydrogen. I actually have one of the packets right here. I'm about to open this bad boy up. Zero sugar, zero artificial ingredients. It's clean, effective hydration without the sugar or crash. Use that code Nick, N-I-C-K, at TriumphDrinks.com to get 10% off your order. Every purchase, too, with the code helps this show grow and keeps the content coming your way. Plus, Triumph donates a portion of every sale to mental health charities. Add the winning element to your daily grind at TriumphDrinks.com. All right, you guys, it was a, like I said at the top of the show, an interesting Bears practice for, you know, your middle of the week, Wednesday practice, in pads, hot day. I see my guy, Gary Ross, in the chat. Got to meet Mr. Ross. Got to hear about all about Gary being quite the athlete, too, back in the day. So good hanging out with, you know, the crew there, Greg Braggs, guys like that. So, but it was interesting. And I kind of want to get right into this, talk about what I had as like my initial takeaways from this practice. And before we get into this whole left tackle competition and adding another member to it, I do want to talk about Caleb Williams. Because I thought today, especially after what was reported in that practice right after the preseason game, it was very shaky. In today's practice, though, however, what I was able to see, I thought the offense outside of, I don't know, 5-6 false start penalties, and that was collectively offense first, second, and third team, it looked pretty good. I liked what I was seeing from Caleb Williams in terms of decision-making, connecting with Roma Dunze, Olamide Zaccheaus. Number 15, number 14 were big targets for number 18 in today's practice. So it was nice to see that when Caleb needed to go to somebody, it was usually those two were the beneficiaries of the receptions that happened in today's practice. So that was great to see. And something that I also noticed that I put down in my notes pretty early, and then also towards the end of practice, you didn't see Caleb rush, like extending plays, because he didn't find anybody open. For the most part, stayed in the pocket. There were a couple plays, but for the majority of this practice, it felt like what Caleb was able to do, given the protection, given the play, given the playmakers that were open, assess what was downfield, and then make a decision, make a throw. So I thought that was just noteworthy, because I haven't been to every single practice, obviously, but the ones I have been to, there have been times where Caleb is holding the football, where he's now having to look to make a play outside of structure and then throw the ball. So I thought it was a good, and you know what? A good indication maybe that Caleb was trusting the line in front of him and then also making the right decisions based off of what he was seeing from the defense. So I thought that was a good plus for Caleb Williams. But just some of the throws and decisions, especially in the two-minute drill, finding Olamide Zaccheaus a couple of times on that drive, also Roma Dunze a few times. So good to see Caleb Williams trusting his targets, getting people open, and then delivering the football. I know I had my notes down here and like around the one-on-ones. Receivers, so to start the practice, what we had right in front of us, you had the offense and defensive line going in their one-on-ones towards the right side of the field. In the middle, you had the linebackers, tight ends going at it. And then far field, initially, you had the receivers and DBs. So I didn't really catch too much of the receivers, DBs in today's practice. But what I did catch really quickly, because I was focused a lot more on the offensive line, defensive line, but I did see a nice grab from Colston Loveland over Jaquan Brisker down the right sideline and making, you know, just a nice grab against a, you know, a DB that has been making some noise, I think, in training camp practices, at least that I've been at. So it was nice to see Colston Loveland, the rookie, mean that challenge from Jaquan Brisker in tight coverage and coming down with a good reception there. A lot of my focus, though, was on the offensive and defensive line. And for good reason. I think early on, you saw Jervon Dexter get dinged up somewhere in the individual drills. And then you had the Bears head athletic trainer, Andre Tucker, looking at him, heavily looking at him for a good minute there, just looking at that left elbow, assessing it. They eventually had to walk off of the practice field towards one of the field goal posts, did some work there, and then heavily, heavily wrapped with the black athletic tape. Kind of the cushiony one, not the one that's going to pull all your hairs off. If you played, you know, sports before, you know exactly what I'm talking about, but the cushiony one, and then you tape that up. But Jervon Dexter was able to actually not only come back from whatever that left elbow injury was, but also participate in this practice. When they went in the one-on-ones, offensive line versus defensive line, he was in there. So he was in there in those drills. He was in team drills. He's able to overcome whatever the injury was and just battle through it. And I wonder how the Bears are going to approach that for tomorrow's practice, because I think you want to have him healthy, obviously, and good for the regular season, but for the joint practice on Friday against the Buffalo Bills, and more importantly, the preseason game against the Bills at Soldier Field on Sunday night. So it was good to see that Jervon was able to stay in the practice. In terms of the one-on-ones, and I know I wrote these down in my notes, but I'm going to also make sure I'm not missing anything in terms of the tweets that I had throughout the day of practice. That's the thing with me. I'll tweet some stuff out and I might not write in my notes, and then I have to go back to my notes and see what I didn't tweet out. But I had, this would be Jonah Jackson. And what I love to do, like, it's, you have to be really quick with the notes. And Gary and I were actually talking about this at practice. Like, you can't write the full name or description or everything. You just got to take quick notes because the next rep is going. But I had Jonah Jackson greater than number 50, Grady Jarrett on a rep and pass, in just one-on-one drills. You had, God, I need to write better, get better handwriting. That's either a 58 or a 52, better than Zach Pickens there. Joe Tooney beats Jervon Dexter on his first rep after coming back from whatever the elbow injury was. I did have Braxton Jones. I gave him the win on this rep against Montez Sweat, but actually a few reps before that, I know I tweeted this one out, Dio Odengbo. I mean, not only did he beat Braxton Jones around the edge on a pass, on a one-on-one rep, but Braxton somehow is like, I don't want to say fly, like he fell, and Dio Dang was around, able to get around the corner. And there were actually a couple of snaps later on in practice from Dio Dangbo where not only is he beating the man in front of him, and I think at the time, our mystery candidate at left tackle position, I'm sure at this point everyone knows Theo Benedict was getting some reps with the first team over Braxton Jones, over Ozzie Trapillo, who was actually practicing at right tackle. We're gonna get into that right after these one-on-ones, but yeah, it was some dominant reps from Dio Odengbo from what I was able to see. I also have now going, like, pivoting from offensive line, defensive line positioning over here in my notes. I have Cole Kmet over Jonathan Owens on an in-breaking route. Gets a win there. Ruben Hippolyte, I had in here with a nice rep against. This would be 35. This would be the backup running back, if I'm not mistaken. Hankins. So he had a nice rep on an out route. Nice speed, nice coverage, tight coverage there on that one. I think this was Mr. Ross who pointed this one out. And I also saw this one too. 31. Really good. Oh yeah. Kevin Byard had a really, really nice rep against Colston Loveland. I think that's just that veteran seeing that Colston was trying to run a nice corner route on Kevin Byer, but Byer was able to not only be in position to make a play on the ball, he almost undercuts it. And, you know, if that ball is underthrown, Kevin Byer is in a position to potentially pick this ball, but that didn't end up happening. It ended up being an incomplete pass, but Kevin Byer, the undersized Kevin Byer on Colston Loveland, really liked the rep there. We have, I'm just kind of looking at the Nashawn Wright, and that would be Maurice Alexander. Nashawn Wright had a really nice rep. That was the one rep I was able to catch from the far field, and it ended up being an interception on an out route. Nashawn Wright undercuts this route, is able to keep in bounds because I looked at the referee on the far field, and he indicated that it was an interception. Really good rep, and was able to get that pick there. That's what I have for the one-on-ones in my notes here. What I do want to get to now is like the next big topic of this show, the takeaway from this practice, the left tackle competition. It was, I mean, Braxton. So it looks like I have here Braxton Jones with the ones to start off. Like Braxton started off the practice with the ones. I think that was in walkthroughs and then that first team period, because I have that in here in my notes. But as the practice went on, I think things just got a little weird, to be completely honest, because then you're seeing Theo Benedict go and rep with the first team offense. Ozzie Trapillo is not your second man at left tackle. He's at your right tackle spot, and Braxton Jones is your left tackle. And that's how it kind of was for a majority of the practice until the final team period, 2-minute drill. Braxton Jones is your starting left tackle. But I would say majority of the reps at left tackle today with the first team offense, Theo Benedict. And there were some reps where, like I said, Dial Dangbo was, I think, able to do some good things on that side. But it was just interesting how that rotation happened. But also just seeing Ozzie Trapillo getting reps at right tackle for the first time throughout training camp. And I know it was Declan Doyle, maybe it was yesterday, 2 days ago, said that you're starting to see separation at that position. Does that mean Braxton Jones has separated from Ozzie and now they're having Ozzie play the right tackle spot? I don't know. I'm not ready to definitively say anything at this point, because Braxton Jones is also getting reps with the third team offense at one point. So it's like, where are we in this left tackle competition? And what does that say, though, that Theo Benedict is getting first team reps? Is that more of an indication on Theo? Or is that you don't maybe quite like what you're seeing right now out of Braxton and Ozzie? You know what? Who knows at this point? I don't think anybody knows. Like, that's why it was such a confusing practice, but I think it is meaningful that you are giving Theo Benedict first team reps. Like, you just don't do that to, I don't know, like send a message. I think you're doing that to really see what he's got, right? Because I feel like it's almost a waste if you're like, if you know that he doesn't have a shot at the competition, why waste those reps in a training camp practice? You only get so much limited time. It just seems odd to me. But again, Braxton Jones was the left tackle with the first team offense in the 2-minute drill that went down the field and ended up scoring. You know what? Honestly, guys, like at this point, you just the Friday joint practice with the Buffalo Bills is going to be really telling. And then obviously the preseason game. And then Gary Ross in here too in the chat. Kron is way behind. Absolutely. He's the third stringer at the left tackle spot. So, like, there's really, and I don't know, is it too early to say it's a two-man race now between Braxton Jones and Theo Benedict because Ozzie Trapillo's at the right tackle spot? You tell me. I don't know at this point. But when, you know, I'm there on Friday and I'll be there covering the practice for Marquee Sports, that's going to be I think, a huge practice. Because I would think the Bears want an answer sooner rather than later. Right? Like, the longer you go trying to still figure this out, the longer you're taking for the continuity to really be established on the starting O-line. Like, I know Joe Tooney, all pro, a guy that's played in huge games throughout his career with New England, Kansas City, but still, like anybody, you just want to know who's to your left. What are their tendencies? What's your communication like? And now if you're doing Braxton, I'm still leaving Ozzie in there, even though he didn't practice at left tackle today. Theo, like, that's a bunch of different guys, yes, playing all the same position, but there's just different ways of communicating with that left guard. It's just been really interesting, you guys, especially today. I wasn't expecting that wrinkle to be thrown in today's practice, you know, just watching from my vantage point, but there it was. It happened. And now we got to see what the Bears truly think about, you know, this competition, what it looks like, and how it'll play out. And Friday's joint practice will be, I think, one, telling who's the first guy up there. I have a feeling it'll be Braxton Jones. But who's next? Where's Ozzie truly going to start lining up at? And you wait. I'm not going to say you wasted all this time, but if you put all this time into Ozzie starting at left tackle and then you move him third week in the training, whatever week it is at the training camp, it's like, does that seem like a waste? I guess it's good to have versatility, but for a rookie out of Boston College who played right tackle most recently his last year at college and then had some reps at left tackle, like, you're messing with stances here. You're messing with, you know, just what his assignment is and things like that. I know Dan Rochard's a really good coach, but it really does make it uncertain of what the Bears are going to do at left tackle. My bet right now, if I had to bet, put money down on it, I would say that Braxton Jones is going to be your week one starter. And then that's all I could say at this point. I think Braxton Jones is going to be a week one starter, especially, and he does need to get more healthy. Like, watching that first preseason game, there were some reps he wished he had back, but overall, for a guy that's coming off season ending ankle surgery in week 16 against the Detroit Lions at Soldier Field, you know, he was able to get the assignment done. Yes, there are plays that he wished he had back, but I thought it was a step in the right direction. We'll see if he can build off of that and then, you know, potentially just earn that week one starting job at left tackle. But we'll see. It was not expected. I don't think anybody was. Theo Benedict, Canadian Eagle, getting some reps there, the first team offense. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break because I am thirsty as hell right now. But really quickly, I have to tell everybody about my good friends. Great friends, actually. I saw a couple of the shirts out there today at today's practice. Windy City Sports Cards. They specialize in buying and selling all things related to Chicago sports. Whether you're a diehard fan of the Bears, Bulls, Cubs, White Sox, or Blackhawks, they've got you covered with an extensive selection of sports memorabilia and collectibles in addition to those Chicago-focused items, everybody. They also offer a vast collection of sports trading cards and memorabilia from your favorite teams and players. Visit their online store to find exactly what you're looking for to complete your collection or to discover a new favorite. Check them out at 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. That's 312-WindyCitySportsCards.com. And I told you at the top of the show, this video is powered by Triumph. The hydrogen-infused electrolyte drink that keeps you going strong. Get 10% off by using code Nick, N-I-C-K. It helps support more Bears breakdowns every single week. Actually, I'm going to pop one of these open real quick, you guys. This is a good chance. If anybody has any questions, like, let's pop them in here. And I know, Gary, what questions do you have? You always have questions. You're a great asset out there for training camp. I don't care what anybody said. But we're mixing this up in here. Yeah, if you have any questions here, I think this would be a good time to do that as I hydrate, refuel. Triumph. Better try it. And it's delicious. It tastes like lemonade. Actually, I know a few people who were sitting in front of me who had delicious lemonades. I was jealous. But they aren't Triumph, though. So, boom. We're good to go. Nobody put a question in here. Disappointing all of you. I'm taking a sip. Let's go back really quickly. I still have a bunch of more notes that are in in my terrible looking notes here. Let's see. I have the Lemonade were on fire. They look fire. They definitely did. We had twos, Theo left tackle, Ozzy right tackle. He had threes. Yeah, like I said, Braxton Jones that left tackle for a little bit there. In here, this would have been the Bears worked some low red zone periods towards the end of practice. This was a drill where or the sequence where Braxton Jones was at left tackle, but I had Cole Kmet a nice block on Dio Dangbo there. Towards the left side, and then you had I believe it was a nice pass for 15 over Nashawn Wright for a 15-yard gain. So you're seeing some again Roma Dunze doing some good work. 15-yard gain, low ball to Burden, false start, incomplete. That must have been, I don't think Luther Burden really had any reps that first team because mostly Olamide Zaccheaus, Roma Dunze, DJ Moore. Actually, speaking of DJ Moore, man, it was a perfectly set up play, great protection up front, and Caleb rifles a pass over the middle of the field, and the ball was, I mean, it doesn't really matter. The ball was kind of, it wasn't chest levels, more hip, knee, but still able to catch the football. You get both hands on it. Everyone hears this from the high school level on. Get your hands on the ball, you can catch it. DJ got his hands on the ball, did not catch the football. The very next rep, and this, it just happened to be the next rep, DJ was in the backfield and gets a handoff. Like, that's something that I think is going to be a part of this Bears offense. Not, and it's not like the Bears don't trust the running backs. They just love what DJ Moore can do as a ball carrier. Get the ball in his hands, see what he can do. But it was a bad rep from DJ because it was nice protection. Everything set up, hit the ball or fired over the middle of the field. Again, a little bit lower than ideally you would like it, but still catchable ball pops off his hands. So it happens, but you do want to see that play being made. I have Theo, false start. One of the many, six at least. Oh, and then here's a, I wonder what this is going to be like in the film room. Probably later today, tomorrow, whenever. There was a bad pitch from Caleb Williams to DeAndre Swift. You know, to be completely honest with Swift, I don't think he had a chance of getting this pitch. I don't know if the depth was wrong by the running back, if the angle was just wrong by Caleb. Whatever it wasn't close. And so that's a fumble. That is a ball thrown into the backfield. Swift kind of jogging. Looking at it. None of the offense is going towards his football. Montez Sweat did picked it up and would have had, you know, a score. So it's like, I wonder how that's going to go over in the running back room, in the quarterback room, from Ben Johnson addressing the offense on that play. It's like, you know, things happen in games, but that's what you're going to do when it does, just because it's practice. Not a great rep. But Sweat, scooped that, and then I scooped that. Nobody wanted the ball. Then I have DeAndre Swift beat TJ Edwards on the sideline, right, short pass. Again, when DeAndre Swift has space, you guys, he can make people miss and was able to not only beat TJ Edwards to that right sideline, but able to pick up a first down on the play, keep the drive alive. And then the Bears, they must be just going by reps because he did get the first down, but then the second team came in. So, yeah, it's just they kind of want to get everybody with their reps and things like that. Swift run to the left, good blocking. I had 85 in here again. Cole Kmet. It would have been looked like a touchdown to the left side. So you have that from DeAndre Swift breaking free. He had a run towards the middle. Then I have 18 connecting with 15 on the left side for another 15-yard gain. Here we go. This is not the play I was mentioning, but TJ Edwards had a nice run stuff up the middle where it wasn't the first and only time because there's another play in here that I'm going to get to, but TJ Edwards not only was able to diagnose what that offense was doing in terms of blocking, but able to make a nice run stuff up in the middle of the field. 18-15, right on a whip route. Kind of waited. He definitely waited for Rome to get open on this play, but trusting his guy to get open, worked in the middle of the field. That one, I mean, it looked like he scored a touchdown on the play. Caleb to Rome, and this is again that 2 minute period, but or maybe wasn't a 2 minute period, but they were definitely driving the football. But it looked like Caleb and Rome were able to score on that one. Devin Duvernay, as I'm looking at some of my notes, 12. He made a couple of catches in today's practice. There was a nice screen that he had towards the right side, and you know, this kind of just brings up a bigger, I don't know, topic discussion, whatever. But I'm really curious to see how the screen game can be more effective. Let's put it that way, because we know there were a lot of times last season where the Bears would run screens, and I feel like it was not even just last year, for years, where the screen game just would put you behind the chains as opposed to helping you out. But I had on this play, screen right to 12, gets a nice gain, moves upfield. It looks like, too, based off of today's practice, Tyson Bagent is your number two quarterback. Again, just based off of this practice, we'll see how that kind of, you know, obviously preseason and the joint practice on Friday with the Bills. But, yeah, it was Tyson Bagent getting a majority of those second-team reps. I have here a lot of Caleb to Rome. Yes, we saw that again. I'm pretty sure Gary Ross wanted me to write Nick McLeod on here, tackle on Kyle Manungai for a 3-yard gain. There he is. Second and 7, dropped by Manungai. Grady Jarrett would have killed him. Okay, yeah, that was the notes in there. Grady Jarrett would have killed him. But he dropped the ball, so I guess he's still alive and good to go for another practice. Third and 7, 8 players on the line of scrimmage for Dennis Allen. I believe this was second team defense, if I'm not mistaken. Cole Kmet left, screen pass. Man, Rome Odunze was doing everything today. Going back to the notes, Rome had a nice block on the DB. You get the quick pass out to Cole Kmet on the left side, able to get upfield, get that first down. But it also is set up because Rome is willing to block. Caleb was able to get the ball out quickly. You know what helps? You know why he's able to get the ball out quickly? The net drill, you guys. Everyone who made fun of Caleb not being able to hit a target. It's like you're getting the ball quickly, no laces, and firing it. Paid dividends right there. Hits Cole Kmet. Roman Dunes able to block. Gets a first down. First and 10. DJ drop middle of the field on the in route off the hands. That's the one I was talking about. DJ Moore run. Olamide Zaccheaus reception. And then the situational drill they were working on, there was 1:16 on the clock, backed up on their side of the field. And I mean, we have one reception to Rome Odunze. You have one reception to Olamide Zaccheaus out of bounds. 50 seconds on the clock. And then there was a really good play from Zaccheaus here. I'm glad I put this in my notes and just scrolling down. But there was a ball intended for Cole Kmet in the middle of the field. It looked like it was Noah Sewell that got his hand in the way. Ball deflects up in the air. And Jonathan Owens is like, let me get this interception. Let's end this drive. Get it done and over with. Zaccheaus comes from behind and kind of swipes down at Jonathan Owens' hands to break up the pass, incomplete instead of interception. Really good heads-up play from the veteran wide receiver who just seemed to be everywhere and available for Caleb Williams. So great to see that. You had a run up the middle by Kyle Manungai. 25 has been in the entire 2-minute drill towards the end of practice. Again, Braxton Jones, the left tackle for this sequence. Number 14, vertical route, 37 in coverage. It was a really good pass play, really good rep by both those guys there. And then continue to move the football. And then you had 14 again, Olamide Zaccheaus drag route left going right, stops the clock, 25 seconds, 2nd and 5. You had an incomplete pass to Manungai on the left side. Ooh, I did have Booker around the edge versus Braxton Jones on this rep. Would it have been a sack? I don't know, but I did make note that Booker had a nice rep there. 3rd and 5, who does Caleb Williams go to? Olamide Zaccheaus in the middle of the field, quick. And then there's this quick like change that needs to happen because the clock is ticking down. Offense is running off the field. Special teams comes on. Cairo Santos able to make the field goal as time expired. Field goal good. Bears win. Then I have the second team offense doing the exact same scenario. Limited time on the clock. Have to drive. I think it's like the second quarter going into halftime, but Theo left tackle. Dingbo would have had a sack, or he did get a sack versus Theo. Ozzie's at right tackle. Then you have quick pressure again given up by Theo Benedict versus Dio Dingbo. So maybe you're seeing, is this, again, this is good for Dio Dingbo, obviously bad for Theo Benedict. You had a deep seam route to Luther Burden the third. Beautiful route, beautiful ball. However, TJ Edwards is running free up the middle, and I heard him just kind of yell like he's like, oh, I would have had this play. I don't know. There's a chance that Tyson gets his ball out, still gets his intended target, Luther Burden. However, he would have had to pay for that play because TJ Edwards is ready to, as I say, would have lit him up. And that was my last note from the practice there. But interesting practice, you guys, in terms of just the left tackle competition, seeing them good. It was better operationally for Caleb Williams, not hanging on to the football, distributing the ball to his playmakers with Olamide Zaccheaus, Roma Dunze. That was good to see. Don't like all the false start penalties that happened on first, second, and third team. So that definitely needs to get cleaned up. You had Nick McLeod getting some looks with that first team defense at the nickel corner spot, while Josh Blackwell is more on the second team. I really don't know about that. I know the Bears like Josh Blackwell. I know that Josh Blackwell got a lot of playing time in the first preseason game. He also got a contract at the end of last season. And he's someone that's been really reliable when Kyler Gordon has been around, who's his hamstring is week to week, as Ben Johnson said, but still feel good about him hopefully being ready for week one, as so with Jalen Johnson, which good. You just got to hope that these guys with these lower leg injuries are able to get to where they need to be by week one against the Minnesota Vikings. But guys, unless you guys have any questions at the end of this show, I'm going to wrap this up, because not only have I not been able to drink this entire lemonade yet, but starving. Need to start eating before these training camp practices. I wouldn't say all that now. Gary got demoted. Just gotta get your guy McLeod some reps, but I'm curious to see how it all, like in the regular season, where those two guys will kind of, you know, play at. And actually Nick McLeod, you know, maybe that could be the difference there with these two. Nick McLeod is 6 foot corner, 191. Josh Blackwell, 5'11", 179. And I'm going to be honest. I've stood next to Josh Blackwell. Great dude. We usually talk a lot of Spider-Man when we're not talking football, video games. He ain't 5'11". He's not. I'm going to be completely honest. He's like my height, maybe an inch taller. But he's a baller, though, doing his thing. And we know that Dennis Allen likes taller DBs. So maybe that plays a factor. But I ain't counting Josh Blackwell out yet for that second nickel corner spot as of right now. But the competition against the Buffalo Bills on Friday should be a good indication of what the Bears think of their guys, who's on the outside looking in, a.k.a. Tyler Scott, what they're going to eventually do officially round out this roster. But should be a fun day on Friday, and obviously the preseason game on Sunday with the starters playing, which will be, it'll be great to see that. There's been a lot of outside noise from national media about, oh, Caleb's not getting reps. Is Ben Johnson trying to hide something for Caleb? Like, no, man, just if Ben doesn't want to play, didn't want to play him in week one of the preseason, that was his decision. There's a lot of fans that wanted Ben Johnson here. And I think I'm going to go with what, you know, he's thinking for his football team as opposed to what other people are thinking for him. I would have liked to see reps, to be completely honest, but it will be nice to finally see that first team offense, first team defense out there on Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills for week two of the preseason. But before that, Friday is going to be a can't miss show here. In terms of coverage from myself and Scott Barron and Mark Key, we'll have it all covered for Friday's practice. So really looking forward to being back on, you know, the other side at Hallis Hall, the media side. Gary, I'll see you on Friday, but you know, I finally have that credential. So it'll be good, good time for everybody, but it'll be a good practice for the Bears, Bills, everybody involved. So guys, that's going to do it for this episode. Appreciate everybody who came in, hang out, interacted with the chat. That's what this is all about too. Hopefully with the people that are reoccurring here, just kind of establishing a community. And I'm really considering for YouTube purposes, like doing some extra incentives for you guys, because once the season kind of starts and I'll be at House Hall a little bit more, there's going to be a little bit more access to players, interviews, things like that. So once that happens, I'm thinking of trying to give more to you guys, because once training camp's over, like that'll be it, free access for everybody else who isn't credentialed. So trying to figure out ways as the season gets closer to give you guys more than what you normally get for Bears coverage. So I'm looking forward to figuring things out and trying to find ways to keep everything, you know, one, I think fun, but informative, and then just something that's going to make you an overall more informed Bears fan. So we'll definitely continue to think of some ideas. If you have any recommendations as well, please throw them my way. Probably not in the chat, but you can always DM me on Twitter. If you want to send me an email, I'm all for it. ndmoriano@gmail.com. Send me some things that you're thinking of in terms of content or what you want to see. And, you know, I can definitely see if I can incorporate that into my coverage moving forward. But hey guys, appreciate everybody who's hung out with me on this Wednesday afternoon. I'll see you guys on Friday after the Bears Bills joint practice, which, like I said, it's going to be a can't miss show. Can't miss coverage from myself and Scott Barrett, Marquee Sports. So we'll have you all covered, but until next time, Bear down, Chicago.
Bend over to your right.
What the f*** was that?
What's up, Bears fans?
People want to hear me talk.